Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to the Lifebook Member Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. It's Character Month, and we have an amazing guest here in studio, actually, which is nice. An inspiration to me, an inspiration to my family, and a lot of people out there. Jody Cushman is in the studio. How you doing, Jody?
I'm great, Jordan. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. Well, my dad, you know, he's helped a lot of people. You know, he's inspired a lot of people in the world of health and fitness and all this stuff. But if you look at the people who he's really touched by and he's really impressed with, you're one of them, Joe. He talks about you a lot. You really are a shining example of a strong character. And seeing as how this is Character Month, I figured you would be the first, you'd be the best person to talk to about this subject. So could you maybe share a little bit about your background, the health struggles that you ran into when you were young, and the prognosis that you got?
Yes. So when I was four, my grandfather took me out for a milkshake, which he regularly did. And this time it did not react to me well. I ended up very, very sick, and I just kept drinking lots of water. At that point, they took me to the hospital, and I found out I was diagnosed with diabetes. So I have had that now for, oh goodness, just had a birthday, 43 years. my father had diabetes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is many, many years ago, they thought that there's no way it could be hereditary. Mm-hmm. However, of his three children, two of us ended up with type 1 diabetes. So I have, I can't say struggled. I have had that my whole life. Mm-hmm. I really didn't end up with any issues from it until I was about 20 years old. Mm-hmm. And then that was the first time since I was diagnosed at the age of four that mm-hmm. I was hospitalized for it.
Oh, wow.
So I ended up with, of course, the doctors weren't sure exactly what was going on. And I just kept saying, check the kidneys, check the kidneys. Oh, and man. It ended up coming around to a couple of years after that, it was the kidneys. And I ended up having my first transplant at the age of 21.
Wow.
So I have been dealing with transplant drugs and issues. I had a transplant for 10 years, it lasted. Mm-hmm. And so for the last 14 years now, I have been back on dialysis because that kidney lasted its lifetime of 10 years. And then of course, some of them dwindle, and that's what happened. It just mm-hmm. failed. So,
what was the diagnosis, though? How long did they give you when you all those years ago?
Oh, so originally, my father was not supposed to live to the age of 40.
Wow.
And of course, me, a couple of decades past that, mm-hmm. The prognosis of my lifetime was I would be lucky to the age of 50. I am now 47. I've undergone two transplants. I've been on dialysis two different times in my life now for 14 years. Mm-hmm. And my prognosis has not all along the way has changed.
Right.
But for me, so many of the times I fall within the 1% of patients that they have never seen labs
totally.
Like this.
Yeah.
They have never heard of a story where I could continue to live as good of a life as I have. So no, I've lived past my years as it is already, past the age of 40. So every day is definitely a welcome day.
Well, it hasn't been a cakewalk for you, Joe. It's not like you just mentally dealt with these problems. Like, I've seen you go through these health struggles where you're in severe pain for extended periods of time, or, you know, severe discomfort. And I just, your resilience is so impressive to me. And you know, it's hard to see that from the outside and say, oh, I could never do that, because I don't know what it's like to be in your shoes. But what I imagine is, you know, giving up must be that's what I would be thinking of, is like, how long can I go on like this? When times were at their hardest, how hard was it for you? And did you think you were going to make it this far? Were you always so confident in your resilience?
Oh, no. Mm. No, not at all. Mm-hmm. And that's why I surround myself. The most important things in my life are friends and family and faith.
Yes.
Because I know I would not be here today if it weren't for a greater power. And whatever that greater power is for you, whether it's Mother Earth, mm-hmm. whatever it is, that's what is supposed to keep you going. I have had several, more than one trying time where I actually, my heart stopped. Yeah, I didn't survive.
Over. You crossed yeah. over a couple times.
So I happen to feel like I have a little inside information.
A little firsthand experience.
Yeah. I am not afraid of death. Wow. I don't welcome it, wow. but I'm not afraid. So for me, every single day on this earth is a blessing. Mm-hmm. And it's because of the strength I receive in my numbers of friends and prayers and mm-hmm. well-wishers, you know, that's what keeps me going. I do know this, that whatever your higher power is, he doesn't care how you come to him, in what form. It makes no difference, as long as you know and acknowledge that there is something greater than you, something greater than us out there. And really, that's what keeps me going. There are days when I'm like, oh, really? Why?
Right.
Why am I still here? Mm-hmm. I can't possibly be of any good on this planet in this state, so you have to help me get out of it, you know? and that, seriously, looking forward to the days of feeling good,
yes,
that's what keeps me going. Nice. And I have so many more of those than the days that I don't feel good.
That's incredible, and that's a really evolved way to look at it. Talk to me about your faith. I mean, You've been deeply connected, you know, with your Christian faith. Has the church helped you? Have fellow Christians helped you when you were younger and maybe your family was struggling? Did the church help you along your path?
Oh, yes. So for us, I was 5 years old when my parents found Seventh-day Adventism. And I had a baby sister. And they became involved with their fellowship through the church. Now they are an organization that holds Sabbath. So from sundown on Friday till sundown on Saturday, that is their Sabbath. Mm-hmm. And Saturday is the day that we would go to church. Well, when I became older in that, and my parents had formed friends, all my brother and sister and I, we all went to the Christian school. Never, ever was church forced on us. As children, of course, we wanted to go. It was something that we did weekly. But it was mostly about what brought us to the church was all of the wonderful people in it. So it was never forced upon us as children. I ended up going to private school through 10 years of living in my hometown. And after the 10th grade, they prepped everyone for college by sending them their junior and senior year away to boarding academy. And I had diabetes and some health issues, right. And so I chose not to go away after the 10th grade. So I did not finish out with college and everyone else in my graduating classes, but I just did not follow through with them. But yes, the church was, we We had a difficult upbringing. Both my parents worked from home, and we weren't raised with a lot of money. And so it was the church that helped us. Yeah.
Traditional role that the church plays. Now your relationship with your husband, you know, your story would not be possible without Benny. Can you describe the impact he's had and the importance of a healthy love relationship during trying times? You know, when you're going through something, you know, so tragic or so challenging or so whatever it is, doing it alone is tough. Doing it with friends is tough. Having someone there by your side who you love and who's connected to you on that soulmate level can really, really provide a lot of strength, right?
Unsurmountable. Yeah,
He's literally saved your life multiple times.
Oh my
times.
Gosh. More than once. Yeah, if it weren't for him, the hospitals would not be able to save my life. I tell you what, back in 2012, thank goodness he was there. He was back in the emergency room telling them what to do, you know, because they had no idea. I don't know what I would do without him. Mm-hmm. He is so strong, so funny. Oh, my goodness. At first, you know, my parents were like, all right. We like your friend Ben, but what is it about him? I'm like, first off, he's so funny, and laughter adds everything to it. When so many things end up, every corner you turn and you're like, oh, really? Something else? Could I possibly hit another brick wall?
Right.
Yes, you can, but you have Ben with you, so you can make it because laughter is amazing. And yes, he is so strong. He has done so many things for so many other people.
Mm-hmm. Humor is a huge part of your life, and we actually share this passion together. We love watching stand-up and stuff like that. What about the importance of just staying positive, staying happy? And surrounding yourself with goodness, because you know, you're not the type of person to get lost in the Google News feed reading about negative headlines. You don't bother yourself with that crap.
No.
Let me parlay this question into something bigger. You talked about, you know, you've had multiple near-death experiences. This is something you've faced. I assume that your life isn't filled with frivolousness. You don't seem like you're going after the paper chase. You don't seem like, again, you're caught up in these news cycles or anything like that. As you said earlier in the interview, you've kind of realized that family, faith, and friends is kind of what it all adds up to. Maybe we'll throw humor and laughter in that category. Yeah. How has this experience shaped your character in the sense of appreciating what's important in life? I mean, did I just kind of nail it on the head?
Yeah, pretty much. We only have so much time.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know. I mean, okay, you don't know how much time you have to live, Jordan. But for me, you know, there's a few more extra things added in on it. So every time I have a procedure done, as Benny puts it, it's a crapshoot whether or not I'm going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
And so without dwelling on that, I just look for the things that make other people smile besides me, and humor comes into that.
Uh-huh.
But to be grateful and thankful for every single day, you don't really have to chase the news for that, you know? I mean, to remain positive is not always easy, but I feel I have said from day one, actually, you know what? My father gave me something that I have lived with since I was 13 years old. I went into his wood shop one day and I said, oh, I'm so bored. And he says, you know, if you're bored, it's because you're boring. So find something to do.
That's awesome. I've never heard that before.
And he says, if every night when you went to bed, you knew that tomorrow morning you'd wake up sad and bored and unhappy, it wouldn't be worth waking up to that day for. So look forward to waking up happy, and you will.
Oh, That's really sweet.
Yeah.
That is really sweet. How do you do it, Joe? I mean, you say you seem, it seems like wired into you. Maybe that's an incorrect assessment, but you push on through these days with your happiness. Do you have any strategies? Like, do you have any go-to, I mean, obviously prayer, loving your husband, but what else do you do to stay positive?
I have to have projects. And so I look forward to working on, and to someone else, it may seem so trivial, but it keeps me going. And my projects aren't always all for myself. I love to make other people smile. And I think that is the most important thing for me, is to bring something to someone else's life.
Mm-hmm. Even if it's just a smile, right? Yeah,
that's it. Exactly. It is amazing what a smile and a little tiny compliment will do for someone.
Right.
You know?
Right. What advice would you have to someone who's been faced with insurmountable odds like you did, or they're in a situation where someone's telling them it's hopeless, or they're just in one of those super, super tough spots and they don't know where to turn?
There is always something more to strive for in this world than the diagnosis of a doctor or the negative comments of someone else. Just know that there is more greatness for you out there than we can actually even know on this earth.
It's kind of about letting go and trusting.
And trusting.
You've got so much trust, Joe. I don't know how you do it.
You have to trust that there is so much beyond us.
Mm-hmm. The world can beat the trust out of some people. Yeah. You know what I mean? But right. You maintain it so much. It's a shining example.
Well, you know, and for me, it is not the health issues. That's not dramatic to me. That's not drama. That is not life drama to me. That is just something that I've dealt with my whole life. And now, granted, I didn't have a transplant until I was 20,
right,
in my 20s. But until then, we had only health issues with my father, and he wasn't diagnosed to live past the age of 40. So we made out of our life everything positive we could. We were thankful we had my father that long. He just passed away 2 years ago.
Right.
So we had him till he was 70. Amazing. Amazing. How could you want for a better life to be able to keep your family together that long, you know?
Is gratitude a large part of your emotional health and your character life?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Who are the biggest inspirations to you? Your father, Jack, obviously.
My grandfather.
Oh my gosh, Frank. Talk about resilience.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, he was a rancher.
Yeah. So that's where I spent all of my school breaks and my vacations. And even when he lived up in the valley, I would ride the bus to spend the summer with him. I was the oldest of the three of us kids. And so it was easier for me to be able to travel away. So I got to experience that a little more than my brother and sister did. But
what kind of impact did that have on you? You see him up there just working tirelessly.
I would work with him. Right. I would go out with him, and I couldn't always do everything he was doing, but he talked me through it all. Nice. And I learned so very much. And if I didn't go with him, then I was stuck in the house doing like canning and cleaning out cupboards with grandma. And heaven forbid that happen, because now 30 years later, I can and do all the same things.
Totally.
That's how I learned. So,
yeah. Was there a bit of stoicism with Grandpa?
Nobody knew Grandpa like I did.
Mm.
He, because I kind of get under people's skin, and I can do it in the most mildly manipulative way that doesn't make them feel like I'm bugging them too much. Grandpa was very, very quiet, and he had made a choice. He was either going to be a rancher or an accountant. So that was his type of attitude. He was very stoic. And my father said by the time he was 30, he'd only heard "I love you" a couple of times.
Right.
But then I came along. And before I went to bed, I would always say "I love you" to my parents. And they said it back, but my grandpa didn't. And then finally I reached 12 or 13 and I would say "I love you" and give him a hug and kiss goodnight, and he wouldn't say anything. And I just stood there. And he says, "All right." And he swooshed his hands and he's like, "All right, be off with you. Go to bed." I'm all, "No, I'm not leaving till you say it." "Till I say what?"
"Aww.
Till you say I love you back. I need to hear it."
That's sweet.
"Well, you know I do." "Well, that's different than hearing it." So, no, so much of my foundation has come from him. And so many times, even when my parents weren't so sure I was going to survive something, Grandpa's like, "You got this."
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah.
But there's a balance there, right? Between like doing your duty, like the stoic kind of, not stern, but just like unflappable. You have that in you too. It's like, I go about my day because that's what you do.
Yeah.
Like you do it to do it, literally just because of duty. No reason, right. No nothing. But then the other side of that coin is those people can oftentimes, you know, not experience their emotions, which obviously you don't have a problem with. You've really, you know, handled that well in your life. But in his case, it's like you can kind of bottle up your emotions. So I think it's a kind of balancing act between stoicism and doing your duty while still having and maintaining a healthy expression of your emotions. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes not so healthy. I go through stages where, like, this interview, yeah, I'm tearing up. I feel it. I'm feeling what I'm talking about. And so I know that's where it's coming from. I am not sad. But no, I
love that about you, though, Joe. You're so open. And I think that comes with it, too, you know. Yeah, I think that comes with the territory. I mean, you've seen the other side. It's like you don't care about the bull crap.
Yeah.
You're not scared to cry in front of people.
And the thing is that if you're in my life, you see who I am. Mm-hmm. And whereas before, even some of my friends, they would only see me when I'm feeling good.
Right.
So nobody comes to check on me when they don't hear from me.
Mm.
They don't know that when I'm down and out, I'm down and out.
Yeah.
And I'm home and I'm not reaching out to anyone.
Right.
So
that was kind of a shift that you had to implement at a certain point. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Showing
right.
people both, you know, both sides.
Right. And that not easy.
Vulnerable.
Right. Right. Vulnerability and just being open to the fact that, well, that's it. It's vulnerability.
Yeah. And that kind of goes with what we were saying earlier about surrender. And it ties in with faith, because so many faiths, and including your own, is there's so much of just letting go and trusting. So
right, right.
You're an inspiration, Joe. Thank you so much for doing this interview. I mean, I guess that about wraps it up. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Everybody out there, you can find us on the Lifebook VIP Facebook page. Love hearing from you. Write in your questions every month. We love hearing from you guys. One more time, thank you so much, Joe. I love you so much. Thank you for coming on this show.
Thank you, Jordan.
Everybody out there, thank you for listening. We'll see you next time on the Lifebook Member Podcast.